The following program contains advice and statements that are the opinion of the hosts and the hosts alone. It is important to remember that advice given on the show does not constitute therapy and cannot replace the fully contextualized one-on-one therapy experience.
X You Will Desire, how to transition your ex into becoming a great friend, coming up on Relationship 911. And welcome to Relationship 911, where we talk about modern love, hookups, hanging out, and everything in between. I'm your co-host, Dr. Ani, joined in studio by...
Dr. Ken.
Producer Danny.
Future Dr. Adam, FDA.
Okay. So I really don't consider myself an expert on very much, honestly. I know. But I do have to admit, I am pretty good. My track record is pretty good. Most of my exes are either... good friends, or we're cool. And so I wanted to talk about transitioning your kind of sexy exy into a bestie. Mm-hmm. Because I think it, you know, I think it can. It's been a great thing for me.
Me too.
Honestly.
Me three.
It's not always easy.
I've had this podcast circled on my calendar for a long time. Because I disagree.
You do? Well, I was hoping. You know.
But go on.
Okay, we're going to get to why you disagree. Because I do think it's not always easy. It's been a great life decision for me. Mm-hmm. I have great guy friends that we're super close. And, you know, we talk and we actually talk about, you know, life transitions together now that they're with somebody else. So I have some thoughts about how you do this successfully. The key thing for me and other people have written about it, even though you have broken up and you plan to be friends later on, you have to have the ex detox. Okay, so the ex detox is key. So you need, after you break up, even if you want to be friends with them again and they want that too, you have to have some time away. You have to have some time to kind of emotionally, mentally, physically reset. You got to get a little space. Because when you break up with somebody, I don't know about you, but I think for many, many people, there's still that kind of, I call it the attachment tractor beam.
Right.
You know, it's mm-hmm. like that you have that attachment and it's, I don't know what it is, something metaphysical, this tractor beam that just, even though you know in your head, this is not the right thing or this is not what I want, it just can suck you back in. So you want to have some time for that ex detox where you can get away, kind of neutralize that tractor beam influence. And they don't have that gravitational pull on you.
Does that mean like deleting phone numbers, getting off of social media, moving to a different city, all the above?
How far do you go?
Just don't interact with them.
Exactly. I do think social media is key. You know, you don't want to haunt them, stalk them, all of that. If you have to go to the extremes of like, you know, taking them off of your social media for a while, you know, then do that. But it is about, you know, getting them out of your system, so to speak. And so a lot of times it does take time. For me, I personally found it was 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, that sounds
usually
right.
I would just take, you know, like what, you know, and our breakups, if we ever talked about a breakup, it wasn't like really horrible. There wasn't blame or, you know, bad. It was just like, this makes sense. Mm. I care about you. I want to be friends down the road. We're just going to take some time, take some space. It was easier back then because there wasn't, social media wasn't as prevalent.
Yeah, I come from a world before social media as well. And it was my family that would keep us connected because my parents always insisted on meeting my boyfriends. So they meet my folks, they become part of the family. Then when I break up, I go home 2 or 3 months later, and there they are with my family.
What?
They get invited by my family to a family function. One was a doctor, so I understand that. It was like, we're not giving up a doctor. And he was an MD. So, but it's always, they get close, they bind. And so they've been friends on social media with my brothers and sisters, you know.
Okay, so then in your case, you need to be a detox from your family, too.
And they was like, you know, which one do you want to get rid of? Because we like him. We want to
Well, I mean, that brings up a really good point because sometimes when people break up, you know, they're all part of a group of friends. And so what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you get that ex detox when you guys both have the same group of friends? And it means that if you're going to not be around them, you're essentially not going to have to be around your friends. And I think there does need to be, if you're part of a tight group, there has to be some communication about that and say, hey, you know, we broke up. We still care about each other. We want to be friends. But, you know, when you guys have gatherings, probably one of us isn't going to go.
Or just give us a warning.
Yeah.
You know, send us so I can decide if I want to go.
Yeah. Or, you know, I might like get coffee or hang out with just one or two of you.
Yeah.
You know, but let the group know, because there can be a lot of like, you know, kind of misunderstandings around that. So, but I personally, I think the X detox is key. You got to,
you
got to have like 8 to 12 weeks.
I was surprised by only 8 to 12 weeks, to be honest.
Really?
She moves on fast.
That seems short.
That seems really long to me.
I've kind of gone the other route where I keep them on social media. And for me, seeing them moving
on. It inoculates.
If I see they're going out or they're dating someone or. That to me just kind of puts a kibosh on everything. Okay, like they're moving forward.
It doesn't produce a weird, like you don't have a reaction.
No jealousy.
To
not really, no. And for me, it's more of like, okay, they're moving on with their life.
Yeah.
They're kind of, as soon as I find out they've kissed another guy, mm-hmm. for me, it's done.
Really?
Yeah.
What if
I'm
the guy
good.
Has a mansion in the Hollywood Hills or something?
Good for them. Hey, hang out, have a fun time.
I'd be like,
do your thing. But seriously? For me, yeah, for me, it's like, I can cut that mm-hmm. off. And I can be okay with that. And I can actually start talking about their relationships or their dating. But that's me personally. That's why I like to keep the social media thing going. And it doesn't bother me to see that. It's more of a closure thing for me.
I think I could get to that point in such a short span of 8 to 12 weeks, especially if we were very intimate and very close in the beginning. Uh-huh. I would get super jealous.
Me too.
Especially in that early part.
I don't want to see it. Yeah.
No, for me it's more
and
of like
compare
it's a closure,
myself.
It's a closure factor.
Yeah, you want some. You don't want information.
Well, maybe comparing, you know, the looks department or something. Yeah, but, yeah. Besides
the FDA is like, who can compare?
Or if the copy
he's
in
better
the social
looking,
media
right,
post is about how good looking they are.
If he's better looking, then maybe I need a couple of days to.
Well, I think you know maybe in certain situations, maybe you're a little relieved if. Somebody might be a little relieved if somebody moves on, because then, you know, they're no longer hurting and then that you kind of free to move on yourself. Mm. And so maybe I'm not saying that's the case for you, but maybe that can be comforting as well. The other thing is, you know, if you're going to be friends, you really have to get closure on why there was this breakup to begin with. But here's the thing. Sometimes you have to get the closure maybe a week or a month after you've broken up. Things start bubbling to the surface, thoughts, emotions, things mm-hmm. that weren't clear. If you come back together to get closure, you got to make sure you don't then hook up.
Right, exactly.
Because that complicates your ability to be friends, because then you're not friends anymore. Yeah. And so then you're back to square one. So anytime, meet in a public place, don't drink, get your closure, and then go back to your ex detox, however long that takes.
And meet during the day. Like
meet
a
during
lunch,
the day.
Coffee
absolutely.
Thing.
Maybe tell some people we're going to meet, like a good friend. You know, keep me accountable. Keep me accountable.
When you're not hungry, not sleepy, not all the other things that can lead to bad decisions.
You're not cold. Right. Yeah. You're not hot. Yeah.
Just
I mean, you can
a
talk about it on the phone, but sometimes I feel like these things are better hashed out in person.
Right.
But see, I'm like you. I'm really good friends with the people I've been in a relationship with. They're not bad breakups. You know, they're usually smooth breakups. And so there isn't a lot of reason to move away. Usually one person moves on, either me or he does.
Yeah.
And then it just naturally transpires.
Yes. Mm. And we'll just self-disclose a little bit and say the first person I ever fell in love with, and I'm pretty sure we were in love with each other, but we broke up on an unexpected day. You know, we were going to spend the whole day together and we started hanging out and talking. And by the end of the day, it ended with me sobbing in the car because I realized that he really belonged with his girlfriend before me.
Oh, wow.
That they were really meant to be together. And you know what? They got married and they've been married a really long time. Whoa. But I really cared about him and he really cared about me. But we knew this wasn't his path. And it was super painful. And it goes back to, you know, what are your intentions? Being honest, being true to yourself. But just because you're doing that doesn't mean it's not going to like hurt like hell, because it might. And so that is really key. You have to know what you really want and that you're not, you don't have ulterior motives.
Right. Yeah, some people end up friend zoning themselves with their partner in order to stay close, be friends, like pretend like they're being friends, right? Like you break up and all that stuff, but then you kind of want to be their friend still, you want to be in their life, you still want to be with them because you don't know how to like end it. So you friend zone yourself. You make yourself look like a friend, hang out, talk about things, hoping that one day maybe they'll see you in
and
that
you're
light
just going to be miserable the entire
time.
So Danny, let's circle back on your topic. So reintroduce it again. What did you mean?
Well, I was in a relationship with a guy for 8 years and we were very close, good close friends, but it wasn't a match. Like you said, I came to the realization one day that I can't hold this guy back.
Right.
He was happy with what I could offer him, but I wasn't offering him the full package. And it was like, I don't want to do that to somebody.
I'm sure your package is very full, but continue on.
Okay. Anyway. He met somebody who happened to be a friend of my brother's, right? So when I first met the guy, I'm like, oh, it's you? You're the new guy? And then what I didn't expect was his new partner, my ex's new partner, had a situation in a previous relationship where the ex doubled back and took the guy he was dating away from him.
Oh,
so he was afraid that I was going to do that.
Yeah.
But I explained, no, I'm the one who let him go.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad you're together.
Right.
I'm so happy that you're together and that he's as happy as he is with you. But that person will not let me see my ex by myself. You know what I mean? He has to. And then this is what's even weird. He answers all the questions for my ex when I ask them. Like, how was your summer? He will answer the question I ask my ex. And my ex will sit there and let it happen. You know?
See, I think that's the key. I mean, this is the whole thing, like, with in-laws, too. Like, whoever the ex is, they set the tone, you know?
Yeah.
And if they are okay with somebody else being in charge of your their relationship, then that's what's going down. That's what's happening.
And I had to settle for that. I thought, we had such greatness together that I kind of just want... He's a great friend to me. He exposed me to a lot in life. But not being able to talk to him on his own, and he doesn't have the cojones to say, you know, I'll handle this. You know, you don't have to answer for me. It just was very strange.
But I think a lot of people get mad at the person that ex is in the relationship with, when I really think, you know, the person you need to talk to, if you don't like that, it's really your ex, because they're not setting the limit. And what essentially they're saying is that they want that too. Even if they seem like they're like being victimized by their partner who won't allow this to happen. That's really what they want.
Mm-hmm. They're choosing their new relationship over the past friendship or, you know, past relationship. Yeah. And it makes sense.
And without any animosity in the friendship, that's what's confusing to me.
Yeah.
In other words, there was nothing wrong like with our friendship. But I miss it. To be honest with you, I miss our friendship.
Well, what's hard is, and this has happened to me too. I had a really good guy friend, and we had dated and a long time before. And he got engaged, and his fiance, he had two really good girlfriends. I was one of them. And she requested that he no longer like talk to them alone on the phone or hang out with them alone. And he agreed. And you know what? The hardest part about that for me was I was so not a threat.
That's how I feel.
You know, like that. It's like, boy, this is so unnecessary, because I was like, you can have him. He's really not my cup of tea. We didn't date that long. But yeah, it was so needless. And so she really didn't get me. Like, I'm like, you didn't really see me. And then this guy who really, we did have a great friendship. I was like, wow, it really doesn't mean that much to you. Like, it's expendable. That's how I felt.
And the same way was, I feel I'm being victimized because of the new boyfriend's past relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I wouldn't have let him go if I wanted
to. At the end of
the
day,
it's like you're getting blamed for something that's not your fault.
Yeah. I really loved him, and I really wanted him to be in a great relationship. And as much as it stung, it was like, okay, you know?
And that's how I feel about it. I came to that realization that I just have to let it be. It's what it's going to be. You know, but it does. It stings up sometimes when I look at pictures and think, God, you know, we had a great time. I wish I could remind him what a great time we had and talk about some things that went between us.
Yeah.
You know, but it's always the other guy sitting there, you know, answering the questions. That's
so
very
is this
strange.
Why, Dr. Ken, you don't think people can be friends after they date?
I think it just adds a lot of complications to your current relationship, or
that I think so.
To your, and I mean, I'm not speaking from personal experience because all of mine fell off a cliff and died on impact. Tragic story.
Good for you.
But
none of them are your fault, though.
Yeah, no. It's weird. But I think there's just something about I think it just adds a lot of complications to the fact that you had something so intimate with them, moving to a completely different element where even if you have friendship while you're having that intimacy, it's still tied to that intimacy in some way. And so you're moving to a completely different realm where you're a friend in a completely different way. I don't think you know that person as a friend in a completely different way until you try it. And I don't think I would ever have the nerve to try to be friends. I had that experience with that person. It didn't work out. I wasn't friends with them before. I'm probably not going to be friends with them after.
And that's the thing. If you were friends with them before, though, say you met someone, you're friends
like
for a couple years.
15 and then you dated in college or something like that.
Could you go back to having that friendship?
I don't know. I think the intimacy just adds such a giant wrench into it where I have trouble believing that you can have a completely new, different friendship. And I know it happens in certain circumstances. I have trouble if you were either in love with someone or truly intimate with them for a long time, moving to a completely different realm with a new lover or intimate partner.
Yeah.
I could not.
I think it would be difficult.
I could not disagree with you more. Like, this is so.
Let's go. Let's dance.
Like, I just think, you know, we're all drawn to each other for different reasons. And even in a really great dating relationship, a lot of times that sex may not be the absolute key ingredient to the relationship.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So at some point, if that part goes away, you still have this connection.
You're left with a friendship.
And you have that connection, the sexual connection with somebody else, but you still, and they know
and
you.
And that's the exact same as when you were intimate with them? That friendship?
Well, we're not only just talking about me now, but I think
And I don't want to paint, I did just paint a really broad stroke with this by saying that I could never have any relationship. Obviously, there's a lot of cases where if you just weren't that intimate with them for that long and you broke up and you were just like, that was weird that we even dated, we weren't meant for each other, all of that, let's be friends. I think it could work out and that you could have a very awesome friendship after that. I'm saying if you were intimate with someone for a really long time, I think that original friendship from that relationship gets so tied into the intimacy part of it that it would just be really hard to start anew.
I almost think like separating from them and then being forbidden to see them or forbidding yourself, it almost charges it and makes it more attractive because it's like, I don't know, it's just when you're told you can't do something or see someone, it becomes idealized. I think if you are friends with them, you're like, oh, yep, that's why we are not married.
Right.
The other thing too, though, and it's not my selfish, but I think part of it is like, you know, that person knew you for that part of your life. And why cut off
somebody that
knew you in that way?
It's a good question.
That's kind of a way to reconnect with that part of yourself. Like somebody witnessed it and it was profound and it was great. And you moved on and moved through it.
Yeah.
But you can always go back and that was like a touchstone for you.
Right.
On that part of your life.
Yeah. And you don't. Am I
flipping you?
No, not at all. but I will.
I thought you were really close.
Yeah, it looked like it.
No. but I do take that point where.
Yeah, he's pointing at me.
If you're dating someone
<Sure is. laughs>
for a long time, you can't just erase that part of your life.
Yeah.
That's impossible. You know, they were there for the ups and downs of a lot of that. Yeah. So I get it.
I will disclose that. I was dating somebody and his father passed away mm-hmm. while we were dating. Unexpectedly, he died suddenly of a heart attack. And we probably in part stayed together a little longer because he went through that. And he's married. He's moved on. He's had kids. But we're friends. And his wife knows. And she might be a little not too happy about it. But mm-hmm. She knows that like we had a really intense connection during that key time right. in his life.
Yeah.
But we look back on it and it was like, it was so beautiful, yeah. you know, and I'm really glad that somebody was there for him. And,
yeah. and my ex and I had the toughest times together economically. We went through the recession. We yeah. went through some really tough times and barely made it out. Right. Mm-hmm. And then he met the other guy, and the other guy is, you know, beyond your wildest dreams. So it's like there's a little bit of that too. In other yeah. words, he provided something I couldn't provide, or
yeah.
there was about that. But it did feel kind of like, yeah, I want that connection to that tough time because yeah. I'm past it now. And it's just nice to know that somebody was there with me. You know, and that part of the friendship is what I miss.
Yeah, and they get it. They understand.
Yeah, he gets it.
He's the only other person probably yeah. in that moment.
But I have to say that your point was well taken, which is what he wants. Otherwise, yeah. he wouldn't be there. Nobody yeah. does anything without getting something out of it.
Yeah.
Right? There's no motivation to people do anything.
You know what I always think about, and it's funny to me, but it may not be funny to everybody else, but I go to like the nursing home. Like, we're all going to like
right.
be old someday, and sex isn't even going to be part of the equation.
Exactly.
And I'm just like going to be, well, I mean, it might be part of the equation, but
it's
going to be like,
for FDA,
you know, it's going to not be as great as it was.
Sex is very prevalent,
you know,
in the nursing home.
Good luck in 88, yeah. you know.
Viagra.
With all kinds of drugs, yes,
man,
yes, yeah.
Ready to rock and roll.
Whoa.
But it's you know, but stock even if out. Even if you got a mountain of Viagra in your corner, you know, gravity takes
right.
its toll.
Exactly.
And there might be times where even parts of you want to have sex, but your eyes look at something and say, "Yeah, no, thanks."
Yeah, exactly.
And, exactly. We're all just going to age, and that when you take like that kind of sexuality out of it and you realize what's there is connection,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's where I go.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes
we're
going
to be old people, and you know, even if we want to, none of our relationships are going to be all that sexualized, but we'll have connection.
Right.
And we'll have each other. We'll have those
want.
Memories. Yeah. And so I guess sometimes I do, like, this is where I say I'm like so visual. I throw people into my like nursing home kind of like
that's a good way to do it.
Area of my brain. It's like, yeah, like we're just going to reminisce someday
See?
And be together. And
yeah.
And so it's easier for me.
I'll be in the nursing home, and I'll be waiting for them to show up, and then I'm going to beat them with my cane and pretend I don't know what I'm doing.
That's the best part about,
yeah, exactly.
about getting older.
Well, according to FDA, he's going to do something else with his cane.
Oh!
So.
A few things. Hopefully.
Oh,
those poor candy stripers. They have no idea what's going to hit them.
No idea. None.
I'll let them know. I mean, I'm going to be wearing a gown anyways.
I can't wait to see
oh
you.
Oh, my God.
Old FDA. It'd be
yeah.
so awesome.
I can wait.
You don't want to see?
I can wait.
I'll come and I'll wheel you into a gay nursing home. You'll be so popular.
Hey, boys.
Well, that wraps up another segment.
On that note.
Relationship 911. You can hear us anytime as a podcast for free on iTunes or Mixcloud. Just search Relationship 911. Please like us on Facebook or follow us on Instagram and email us anytime at relationship911radio@gmail.com. Enjoy your week and enjoy your relationships. Now I gotta get you back.
Relationship 911 is produced by Daddy Lima's Creative in partnership with LA Radio Studio in Portsacall Village in San Pedro.
That was good.
That was good.